Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll-free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. What a beautiful day in Portland, Oregon. And in the studio with me is Carl Jepson with the Carl Jepson Attorney at Law.
Good morning, Chuck. How are
Good
you?
Good morning, Carl. And Kevin's got the weekend off. This is our this will actually be our Thanksgiving show. We wish every one of our listeners a very happy Thanksgiving, and drive safe out there and travel safe. And this morning we have a special show because we're going to have a special guest on. We have the third week of the month. We have somebody from Debt Research. And with everything going on in the economy, this is a really great time. But listen, if you want to join in the talk, you can actually pick up the phone, give a call, and ask Harry Dent a question. We're going to have Harry on the line with us. And you can give us a call at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or toll free 877-733-1011. And I got to tell you, if you're not attuned into economics, there's a lot going on in the world. And so I'm really happy to have Harry with us on the show at this time. Harry, are you there?
Yeah.
Well, Harry, where are you today? Are you in Puerto Rico? Are you in Hawaii? Or I don't know. Where are you?
I'm in New York heading towards Thailand on Monday. I had to flee out of Puerto Rico. I kept trying to go back there and make things work, and it was just too much. So we're going to hang out up here until around Christmas or New Year's, and then check out Puerto Rico again and see if we can move back there. I sure do miss the weather there compared to what we got here.
Oh, I can imagine. I've heard reports on the news, but is it as bad as the reports are saying about the fact that they still don't have water and systems available for people?
Well, you know, they keep the electricity got up to somewhere between 40% and 50%. Then they had another breakdown. It just water has come back fast in electricity, but that's the biggest threat there, that you get contaminated water from sewage and dead animals and stuff, and people are forced to drink it because they don't have clean drinking water. And you know, but the biggest problem for me there was just there was no internet. Almost no satellite TV. I was just out of communication. If they'd have nuked North Korea, I probably wouldn't even known it for a day or two. So I just can't operate my business with that. But I just don't know how. At least our condo had off and on electricity from a generator. Most people haven't even had that, you know. So it's I don't know how most people are making it there. I had to leave partly out of boredom, just with absolutely no stimulation from the world, no communication. At least my cell phone worked. Most people's cell phones didn't work down there.
Well, and you're fortunate that you're able to do that and to get out of there and take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah, no, we are. We've got a place we can stay up here in New York, and we can stay up here as long as we have to. I'm just going to freeze to death, that's all.
Yeah, I thought you might head back to Tampa or, you know, Florida and stay there for a while for the winter.
Yeah, we could. I was just down there seeing some friends and some doctors and stuff. But my wife's been working on a real estate project up here, so she really needs to be up here. So it works best to be here.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to jump right into it. You know, we've had two straight quarters now of 3% growth, and the House passed the tax bill, the tax reform bill of whatever it is, and we only will know when they finalize it, because people always call the show and say, well, what do you think about the tax bill? I don't think anything about it until they actually pass it, because as we all know, that thing changes all the time. And until they actually get something in, we really are not going to know what they're going to have. But
yeah, and the Senate was talking about not starting until 2019. The markets aren't going to like that if that ends up being the final bill.
Oh, I think we're in for a big dip if that happens. I would think you might think so, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I have been shocked at the inefficiency of the Congress to get anything done. The House has passed something like 360 bills, but I think the Senate's passed like 12.
That's part of the theme of this new book, is that we are so most politically polarized since the Civil War, not since the Great Depression. We had income inequality off the charts then, and, you know, bubble and burst and all types of stuff. But, man, we didn't have the blue states and red states ready to split apart like the Civil War. And so that's why it's so hard to get anything done with Congress. We've got charts in the book from Pew Research that show in just 10 years after 2004, we went far to the left from the Democrats and far to the right. Like, people went from center to both sides, and now there is no center. There is no common ground to pass bills or come to agreement. And I really think that we may end up, I don't know what the form is, Chuck, but we may end up with a blue America and a red America. We may still have one trading zone, which would obviously be to everybody's advantage, but we may have two political entities or more, because I just don't see any way to bring these two groups together, and I think everybody'd be happier. You know, if the red could have their politics and the blue could have theirs and not have to compromise so much, because, again, there's just no compromise.
But then what do you do if one goes broke?
Well, you know, it would force, but we're talking about that happening to everything, Jeff. We're going to go broke. I mean, the municipality's going to go broke. Companies going to go broke. Banks are going to fail. It forces a big, what I call, financial detox. And you have blue states are subsidizing red states and a lot of welfare and expenditures. But, you know, the blue states are subsidized by these tax deductions to fund their super high income taxes, and that's going to have to change. They're not going to be able to get away. California's got a 14% marginal rate for their income tax, which is obviously on top of federal taxes. Well, Florida has zero. I mean, so all of this stuff, I warn people about it, because this is like a once-in-a-lifetime event when this bubble finally bursts. It's going to be very challenging, but it's going to cause a lot of reforms and changes that we've needed forever, and you just can't get done once they've come in law. It takes a crisis to get people to get clear about stuff. We baby boomers are expecting all these entitlements, and they're not going to happen. I've done the number. They're not financially possible for smaller numbers of millennials to fund larger numbers of retiring baby boomers, especially when the economy finally moves from boom to bust, which it does once a generation, as far back as you can look.
Well, you know, there's you just mentioned the Pew Research. I happen to notice that this week there was a couple of mentions about demographics and about how demographics are going to be changing what goes on over the next few years. And I went back and I looked at a Pew Research article back in April of this year. And what most people don't really get is one-third of the millennials are currently living with their parents.
Yeah.
And that's 18 to 35. One-third of them are not even in the workforce. They're living at home, just staying there. So
well, also, over a third are not old enough to enter the workforce. They're still in school. So this generation has not fully entered the workforce, and you don't have a lot of spending power until you get most people in. For the baby boomers, most everybody was in by the early 80s, and that's when we took off and had the greatest boom in history. The millennials aren't at that point yet. Yet, baby boomers are retiring faster and faster rates. One of the biggest things I tell people, Chuck, is very simple. We've hired back all the people we lost in the Great Recession. That took many years of stimulus and funny money and all this sort of stuff to just grow at 2%. Our workforce is not and has not been growing. We just lost a lot of people. Now we've brought them back in. Now that we're at full employment, I don't care how much they cut taxes. Growth long term is workforce growth plus the productivity of that workforce, period. That's long term what works. Our workforce growth is at zero roughly for decades ahead, years and decades, and our productivity's dropped down to 0.5%. It used to be 2, 3, 4. And our projections from aging, because older people don't get more productive, is that it's going to go to zero. We have a kind of a zero growth economy, and nobody's come to terms with that. It's taken all this free money just to get at 2%, which is half of the normal boom growth rate. And now they're saying, oh, if we cut taxes, businesses will invest. Invest in what? We're at 75% capacity in the U.S., much below the 85 to 90% norm. Businesses don't need more capacity. You got a workforce that's not growing. So who the hell are you going to hire if you do build a plant, unless you're going to pull people off of disability or baby boomers out of retirement? So people are not being realistic, and we're living off stimulus, and you can't live off of a free lunch forever. And I'm finally, after all these years of things being stretched, we're seeing signs that the stock market is showing the kind of divergence as it says this thing's getting ready to go the other way. And does one of the points in Zero Hour, this new book, Chuck, really simple. The first crash, you usually see half of the entire 2 to 3 year crash in the first 2.5 months, about 40%. So people who sit in this thing are going to get whacked hard, probably pretty soon.
Now, did I hear you say you have a new book?
Yep, it just came out this last week. It's called Zero Hour, Turn the Greatest Political and Financial Upheaval in Modern History to Your Advantage. We're saying, first of all, this bubble is finally showing signs of bursting, but most importantly, some bigger cycles we have beyond just, you know, the baby boom boom and the bubble and debt and all these things. That we're due for the biggest political revolution since democracy itself in the late 1700s on a 250-year cycle. We are seeing, it's one of the reasons I put out this book, rushed to get it out, we've been looking for an 84-year populist revolution, like Hitler. Hitler came in the early 30s, actually January 1933, and said, I'm going to make Germany great again. Didn't work out so well, but it was a major populist revolution. 84 years later, to the week and month, Trump gets elected by surprise and says, I'm going to make America great again. So when I saw this happening, I'm saying, okay, this political revolution is starting to happen. Trump and Brexit, and this is going to have a profound effect. It's going to cause a lot of upheaval, too, but it's going to have a profound effect long term. And it's going to address a lot of these things you were hinting at earlier, you know, these things that we all know need to change and nobody can change them. Well, you get a crisis, you get a revolution. People get upset enough, you will see major changes. So I'm just warning people, man, the more you can get in safe investments, the more you can be living in a safer area and just kind of hunker down. This whole thing's going to work massively to your advantage. But if you sit in a bubble and go down with it like people did from 1929 to 32, they lost their job, most people. They lost almost all their financial assets, real estate, stocks, whatever. If you just sit through this bubble burst and think it's another correction, and listen to the typical stockbroker that say, oh, just hold on, stocks will come back. No, this time they don't come back. They don't come back for decades. And your real estate, ask Japan, real estate and stocks have been down for now almost 3 decades in Japan. Real estate is still on the bottom. Stocks are only about halfway back up, and that's about as far as they're going to go. So this is a serious once-in-a-lifetime reset. And we call this book Zero Hour because I'm saying, okay, governments have surprised me and everybody and stretched this thing farther than anybody would have thought possible. This thing's getting ready to blow.
Carl, you look like you got a question. Well,
no, I it's just extraordinarily thought provoking.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a, yeah, well, you know, you kind of ask yourself, okay, you know, I mean, I'm beginning to think like a survivalist here, you know, so.
Well, it probably didn't hurt to be a little bit of a.
It's a good way to think right now. Yeah. And this is not, you know, we've called a lot of corrections in the past and stuff, and the 2000 top and the real estate top. Well, these things were not saying, okay, you know, never again sort of thing, or get out, never get back in. This is saying, yeah, you've got to dodge this one. This is when everything goes down together, and when the final bubble bursts, and when that happens, you have no more buying on the dips and no more people thinking, oh, real estate will go come back, or real estate will never go down in the best places like Manhattan, you know, or South Beach or San Francisco. People going to get it. When the bubble finally bursts and does it across the board, you don't see another bubble for decades and decades because people get it. And you're not going to see this buy on the dips. Even recently, stocks go down. They'll go down 2, 3%, and immediately people step in and start buying. Well, you get that first 40% crash in the first 2.5 months, you will have no more buy on the dip psychology.
No, everybody would be bailing like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be bailing like crazy, which will drive it down even farther. Yeah, now, you know, the thing is, you know, before we were talking about the dip being a, like, the next dip being like a 7 to 9 year, but you think it's going to be like a 2-decade recovery? Very similar to what happened in the...
I think, you know, stocks and commodities correct faster than real estate. I think it'll take several years for real estate to just bottom, and then real estate will not come back anywhere near like it did before. Stocks will bottom probably within 2 to 5 years, and then there will be a significant global stock surge again, led by emerging countries and commodities and stuff like that. And then we look in the book, you know, here's the best commodities to get into when this thing cracks. Here's the best emerging countries. Yeah, Mexico, Latin America, good. But Southeast Asia and India, great. Why wouldn't you want to be there more when they've got so much more demographic and urbanization potential to play on? So, you know, that's the thing. Like, there's this whole succession. You be in the dollar now, it's the best hedge. If things surprisingly start going down, and when Italy defaults and sovereign bonds come into some question, then you start buying the best sovereign bonds, you know, and then you buy the emerging countries at the worst that crash, and the commodities, because they're going to come out of it first, because they've got the demographic power that developed countries no longer have. So it's, you know, a big message in this book is, in past major corrections, like, you know, 29 to 32, 73 to 75, you know, 80 to 82, when you're really putting in major bottoms, you could have bought anything and it would have gone up. In almost any sector of real estate, almost any sector of stock. And of course, some are going to do better. This is a time when the next global boom is going to be very uneven. Emerging countries, way more than developed countries. Commodities may see the best commodity boom in history when emerging countries are driving it. Aging industries will do well in developed countries, like healthcare and nursing homes and things like that. But automobiles and especially real estate housing will never be the same. You're going to be having as many baby boomers die for decades ahead as new millennials come along and buy houses. It's going to be a stalemate. We have in the book a geopolitical cycle that gets better in the early 2020s, but the innovation and technology cycle doesn't until the early 2030s. So our point is, there's going to be a very uneven boom coming out of this. You're going to have to be a smarter investor and understand the urbanization of the third world, and you have to understand demographics everywhere to be able to do well in that boom. Otherwise, you could have a global boom, and you'd be having way lower returns than you ever saw in this last one.
Well, Harry, we got a caller on the line. Roger's got a question for you. Roger, are you there?
I am. Thanks. Harry, excuse me, a little bit of a cold here. I was listening to some other financial show. I can't remember which, so sorry not to have the name of the person. But they were saying, I heard you just say that the millennials are just sitting around in their parents' basements and not doing much of anything. And this person was saying that there's a housing shortage all over the place, and that's why they're sitting one of the reasons why they're sitting in their parents' basements. And I live in Portland, Oregon, which is, it seems like everybody is still moving to, and there's definitely a shortage of affordable housing here. But I'm wondering what you think of that, and you might have just addressed it a second ago, but if you could speak to that point, I'd appreciate it, and I'll hang up and just listen to you on the radio. Thanks.
No, it is true. I mean, housing has recovered back to pre-bubble peak levels back in 2005 to 2006, and we were predicting that right in that time frame. And there are shortages because builders just haven't come back. But we still have falling demographic demand, and this is a breakthrough indicator I got like several years ago. I realized most things will take the peak in buying, which we can determine, like automobiles, it's age 54. You know, furniture, it's 46. Homes, it's 41. But real estate is different because real estate lasts forever or near forever. And when people die, they become sellers. You know, they don't suddenly become sellers when they die, you know, on clothes, you know, and food and stuff. It is in real estate. And so now in any country in the world, I have to look at the number of people who are going to be peak buyers of real estate. And that's 41 in the United States, 42 in Japan and Europe. But also how many people are going to be dying, and that's 80 in the U.S., and it's 84 in Japan, and 81 to 82 in Europe. I can do the buyers versus dyers, and you know what? Net demand for real estate continues to slow in the United States despite the millennials coming along, and they are going to enter the workforce more, and they are going to want to buy real estate when it's available or when the economy looks a little better, and that's going to be a detriment. But even then, net demand goes down until 2039. In Japan, it goes down. It continues to go down and never comes back. So you got to understand demographics because we've always lived in a world where every generation was bigger than the last one. This is the first one where the millennials in the U.S. only take us back up to the same peak demand for spending or houses or cars, and they don't do that for many years ahead. There's countries like Japan and most of Europe where they never even come close, that they're going to be shrinking forever. There's 8 million empty homes in Japan, and it keeps growing because more older people are dying than younger people coming on to fill up those homes. This is happening in Germany, and they're having to cover up their empty shopping centers and residential developments and stuff to hide the fact that they're dying demographically. So demographics is easy to project on this stuff. Nobody wants to look at it. Everybody wants to think, oh, it's all about matter about cutting taxes and then business will invest again. They're never going to invest. Anybody that invests in major developments is going to get killed. The only thing you're going to make money on is things like nursing homes.
Yeah, that's true. Those guys are making tons of money and will continue to do so as the baby boomers get older. No question about it. Harry, one of the things, you know, I look at right now, we see the stock market has continued. Now, this week we had a setback a little bit, came back a little bit. But really, we've had the markets all up in double-digit returns, which is something we haven't had for a while.
Yeah, and, you know, we really had in 2015 and 16, looking like we were kind of maybe getting a rounding top, and that's one of a number of classic patterns. But then, you know, when this Trump thing happened and the markets reversed 2,000 points between overnight and the next morning, we said, oh, my God, no, the markets see a tax cut coming. They see pro-business policies, and this market's going to go up 20-25% on this Trump rally. But I also look at that, Chuck, because these bubbles, we got a whole bubble pattern we track, and it's always this last kind of orgasmic stage. And I think that's what this is, and I think we've seen that 20-25% rally, and that's why I'm much more cautious on the markets again. But no, we turned around and said, nope, sorry, we were wrong about this thing looking like it's about to lose steam. We got a strong rally ahead of us. But again, the markets have priced in this tax cut, I think, almost too much. There could still be some disappointments in timing or certain sectors and things, and it just may not come out quite as rosy as everybody's assuming here.
You know, Harry, one of the things that's been really puzzling to me, and I've never heard an answer, maybe you can give me one. You know, since the turn of the century, the Dow Jones has consistently outperformed the S&P. In fact, this year, it's about 20% better than the S&P. And you would think if you were in a growth stage, growth would outperform more conservative stocks. But the Dow's actually outperformed over the 15 years, almost 20%, done better than the S&P.
Well, you know, the one thing, Chuck, is the S&P is 500 stocks. They're still large cap stocks, but it's a much broader array of industries and, on average, is smaller. The Dow is just 30 stocks, and they try to pick the very largest blue-chip stocks in every major sector from energy to technology. And especially the farther a bubble boom goes along, or any boom, frankly, the largest and most well-known stocks end up doing the best because the smart money, you know, sophisticated investors, they find more pay dirt going after smaller and medium-cap stocks that aren't as well-known and are harder to analyze. When the everyday person starts jumping into a bubble, they buy Apple, they buy Google, they buy Netflix, they buy Coca-Cola. They don't buy the small and mid-caps. And so the Dow really has that advantage in a bubble because it is the largest cap companies. And, yeah, they got technology in there as well.
Well, but the 80 years before was just the opposite. The S&P was 20% higher than the Dow.
Right, but we've seen most of the bubble since the bubble didn't really set in until late 94, early 95. So in this time period, the Dow, I would expect the Dow to have somewhat of an advantage. Now, it's not a giant advantage because they're all large-cap stocks and they're all diversified. But the Dow should do better in these late stages. And same with the NASDAQ, because the NASDAQ 100 is 100, and they're more technology-oriented stocks, which do tend to be higher growth than the typical Dow stock. But it's still a broader average. The NASDAQ's got hundreds of stocks in it, and the NASDAQ 100 has 100.
Yeah, it's done worse than both over the last 16 years. Well, listen, Harry, I really appreciate you taking the time with us today. Have you got any snow in New York yet?
No, we don't, and I'm just fine with that. We've been below freezing a number of days. You know, after living in Puerto Rico for a year and a half, my blood is not used to that.
Yeah, you're going to bundle up and stay in. Well, listen, we really appreciate you. I'm going to get on the phone Monday and get a hold of Lance and get me some books ordered. And I missed that because I've been really busy this last week. But I'm going to get those books ordered and offer them to some of our listeners as they call in and ask questions on the show. So that'll be great. Harry, we really appreciate your time. And we'll talk to either you or Rodney in December. Hopefully you'll be back home and thawed out.
Yeah. I get back in early December from Thailand.
Oh, okay. Well, you go to Thailand, it's going to be nice and warm there, I think.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we appreciate your time, Harry. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you want to pick up the phone and ask a question, give us a call, 503-417-9595 or toll-free 877-733-1011. And if you call in, I'm going to be getting some Harry's new book. You can get one of those books. So give me a call.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's Comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and this is Carl Jepsen, and it's time for me to discuss Carl's comments. And my comments this week are really questions for you, because most people, many people kind of expect the lawyer to tell them what they ought to do on their estate plan. And really, most of us are looking desperately for what you want us to do for you. So the kind of the topic title of this comment might be, what do you want from your estate plan? And so I'll just break right into it. One of the things people often want is to protect their beneficiaries from various things. And the question really is, so if you want to protect your beneficiaries, what do you want to protect them from? Do you want to protect them from themselves or do you want to protect them from their other siblings, or do you want to protect them from creditors? Do you want to protect them from their own bad judgment? These are kinds of questions that the lawyer wants to know so that we can tailor the documents to fit whatever it is you want to do. So one of the things that we do for example, protection against the beneficiary's creditors, a lot of time we establish what's called a spendthrift clause, which has been held to be a protection from the creditors of the beneficiaries. If it's established early enough. Now, as an individual, you can't go out and put stuff in a trust for yourself and insulate yourself from your own creditors. But as a third party, you can establish a trust that insulates your beneficiaries from their creditors. So that's what a spendthrift clause does. Sometimes we want to delay a distribution. Maybe we don't want to give a 25-year-old or a 22-year-old a large sum of money all at one time. They're just getting out of college, and you give them their inheritance. And, of course, now, obviously, you probably aren't going to choose the time necessarily, the specific time that they're going to get that inheritance. But a lot of times people want to delay that inheritance for a period of years or to a certain age divvy it up over a period of time at certain stages in their life. Also, in terms of protecting them kind of from themselves, sometimes people delay the distributions based on some kind of performance. For example, graduating from some kind of school or obtaining a certain job or some kind of job, or in some unusual cases, or maybe not so unusual, maintaining sobriety or drug-free circumstances for a period of time. So those are all kinds of things that people can do and often do. But it's very important to think about that when you're getting ready to make that appointment with your estate planning lawyer. And so the other thing that I think people often just kind of almost have a mental block against, as I do, I have that, and that is, let's see, how do I going to protect myself for incapacity? Now, I know that some people thought I've already crossed the threshold, but nonetheless, what do we do? And we see it every day. Every day there's somebody that has a stroke or you know, has some terrible disease that comes upon them that really makes them incapacitated and unable to manage their own affairs. And that's a thing that nobody wants to think about, but it's more likely than not that you're going to have some kind of incapacity at some point in time in your life, even if it's only a short period of time. So the planning for that is really the most important thing there, is that you have some planning, and that planning usually involves having someone appointed to manage those affairs for you. And that's the critical question. Who's going to do that? Who has the skills, who has the temperament, who has the integrity to do that job for you in the manner that you want it to be done? And that is one of the most important things we can do. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's very hard to say, well, I don't know. Who am I going to have do that? Who's going to be that person? Are they going to be safe? Are they going to be someone that is going to be able to take care of me? Do they have those skills? Do they have the time? And I think that's one of the hardest things to do. The other thing might be, you know, you can do some things to protect yourself, I suppose, but the most important thing is picking the right person and a backup, at least one backup person, so that that person can do it. A lot of times it's a spouse, and that's fine. That works, usually works pretty well. You know, obviously another choice is a child, but sometimes children don't fit into that category as well because they're living extremely busy lives and they might not have the time, they might not have the inclination, they might have kind of significant problems with dealing with their siblings. And if that's the case, then sometimes that's a very bad choice. That leaves you sometimes with, you know, really good friends or a trusted advisor, or, you know, some people have a professional fiduciary, but you have to expect that they're going to get paid to do that. And they should, because it's a big job. I've served as a trustee on occasion, and quite frankly, it's not something I really want to do anymore. it's a lot of work, and it becomes, you know, it can be very troublesome because not every beneficiary and not all of the relatives think the same way as to how the money ought to be spent.
It's just not a labor of love like some people think it is.
No, it's not. It's not just this kind of, okay, I'm going to write a check. That's it. It ends up being a lot more, especially in the incapacity situation. So those are things that I think are very important to consider. And you need to also consider in that context, you know, who's going to take care of you and who's going to make your wishes known, but also what happens when that situation changes? What happens if your spouse dies before you do? What happens if your child dies before you do? Do you want to take care of the grandkids? Do you want it to go to their spouse? Do you want it to go to their estate? Do you want it to go to the other children? All of those things, and nobody wants to think about that either. You know, I have people look dumbfounded when I say, well, what? That sounds really nice, but what happens if your child dies before you do? And a lot of times they go, oh. And that's, unfortunately, sometimes it happens. And what's really bad is if it happens and, you wait to your estate planning to have that option because you didn't want to think about it, and you know, somebody has a motorcycle accident or a car crash or a heart attack or anything, and it happens. So I think most of us attorneys will ask you those things, but we can't possibly ask you all the things that might be on your mind that might be important to your circumstances. So ask yourself those questions. You know, call your estate planning attorney if you need one. Well, you might think about this show.
Well, you know, Carl, this is one area where our two industries kind of go the same way, because we always tell our clients, let's prepare for the worst and pray for the best.
Yep.
And if you don't prepare for the worst, and the worst happens, it's not going to be pretty.
Absolutely. And it's the planning process can be relatively simple. I mean, a lot of people are of the opinion that, you know, all this stuff has to be just extraordinarily complicated. Now, I will say that I do some things that are complicated, but that's usually because it involves a number of things, but it usually involves more stuff. If there's more stuff, the more stuff you have, the more complicated it is to get a simple result, quite frankly. So,
well, you know, the thing is, though, if you don't, the hardest thing is to sit down and do that and prepare for your not being here anymore. That's mm-hmm. That's a hard thing for anybody to do. But the fact is, everybody's going to reach that one day or the other. Although you and I have met some people in their 80s that still haven't done their planning, mm-hmm. and they seem to think they're going to live forever, but you don't.
Yeah, I had a client here not too long ago that I was so impressed with, because he came in and he sat down and I said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, my main goals are 1, 2, 3.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
And so then we went on from there as to how we might do that. So I think that those are good things. And so that's Carl's comments.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with the Knowledge Trust. If you want to pick up the phone, give us a call. And join in conversation, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-9595. We'll be right back to answer your questions.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Every so often, a life-changing opportunity presents itself. That opportunity is right now. Chuck Price of Price Financial Group Wealth Management is hosting an event that will introduce you to a new, revolutionary concept that will change how we invest and how we look at our retirement plans in the future. It's called Asset Lock, and it is now. Imagine what it will be like to stop with the guessing and wondering about your financial future and actually see and learn about the key to unlock the newly discovered science that will change retirement plans forever. You deserve to take control of your retirement future, and now you can. If you have a minimum of $100,000 in your 401k, 403b, TSP, or 457 plan, you cannot afford to miss this event. November 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Portland Airport on Columbia Boulevard. Not only will you hear about Asset Lock, you will meet and hear from its inventor and founder. Special guest, Jason Jenkins. Register now by calling to reserve your seats. 503-253-3000. Limited space is available. 503-253-3000. And witness the future today.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And, ad was playing there. Carl and I was talking about Asset Lock and the fact that what Harry had to say, I would think if you're not coming to our Asset Lock meeting on November 30th, you should be there. I think it's going to be a worthwhile meeting. And I have to tell you, I missed that because I haven't had a chance to read Harry's stuff this week. I've been really busy, as I'm sure you have been, because we're closing up things for the year end. And it seems like our practice, at least my practice, is really busy during the months of November and December.
Mine seems to pick up a little bit, usually after Thanksgiving and stuff. As they approach Christmas, it usually slows down a little bit, but not that much. Usually what will happen is people will say, oh, I got to do that in January, and they'll call in December. So that's really good.
Well, a lot of people, we're getting things done and wrapped up before the year end because they want to hit the new year running. And so it's important if you're going to wrap those things up, you want to get them done. But certainly on a will or a trust, you want to get that done as soon as you can. Because we don't know. Nobody can see the future.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And I do want to give a little plug here on the Asset Lock thing on November 30th. If you have investments, whether they're your own personal investments, but they're in a brokerage account, or you have an investment account with a retirement plan, a 401k, a 403b, a TSP. TSP is for people who work for the government. If you have any of those retirement plans, a deferred comp, 457, up until now, we were not able to actually help you or help our clients with those products that they had that we didn't manage. But with Asset Lock, we have the ability to do that and help you with it. And I would think, in light of the fact of what Harry had to say, I would think LifeLock over the next 10 or 20 years might be a pretty important thing to have available. And I do want to mention their Asset Lock is a pending process, and so that is a process I think that's going to be out in front of artificial intelligence. They incorporate it with artificial intelligence, and if you're just looking around the world, you got to understand that artificial intelligence is the way things are going. I mean, who would ever thought years ago you could have your laptop or your computer and push a button, and you could talk to it, and it would type for you, thank goodness, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it saves a lot of time. You just need to speak clearly. Don't drink that glass of wine while you're doing it, but you can talk to your computer, and it types up what you're saying. It's got to be a great thing for writers, and, you put together a lot of letters and stuff, and it's a great tool to have, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely great. I have a specialized program that has its own legal vocabulary. And so if you say some legal word, it actually knows what it is and types it out. And it learns from you also, or it analyzes the stuff that you've written that's on your computer.
You mean it never pops up and says, does not compute?
Well, no, sometimes it does. And it's it's made by, I have a kind of a standing joke, the company is Nuance, but that's called Dragon Legal is the name of it. And they have a bunch of Dragon products. And I always tell my legal assistant that if she finds anything unusual or that doesn't seem quite right, it's Dragon droppings. So,
wow. Okay, man, I've heard it all now. Anyway, no, but that system is good. I've used it before, mm-hmm. and it is great because you can talk to the computer and it'll just type out what you're saying.
Yep.
It's a great system. And listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call. I do want to shout out to this, and I want to say that we want to wish every one of you a happy Thanksgiving. And with the weekend, next weekend, our show will do a replay, because we're going to be off with our families just like you are. And we do want all of you to be very, very safe out there, because at this time of the year, they're saying that this year is going to be one of the busiest years on the highway for Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, when that happens on those holidays, we lose a lot of people. So just saying to you to drive careful and be safe out there, and be a defensive driver. Let the other people cut in and stay out of their way so you don't bump into them. But that's better to walk away than not. So that's my little two bits there to say. Be careful driving. We have family driving in to see us, and we want them to drive safe and get here and get home safely as well. So it's a very important thing. I'm going to go into the economy, and one of the things I did discuss there a little bit with Harry, and one of the things I think is over-alarming to me, and didn't seem too much to Harry, but sure does to me, is that the 80 years previous to the turn of the century, the S&P actually outperformed the Dow Jones by about 20%. Now, you know, that may be 10 to 8%, but that's, you know, almost 20% difference there. And so, you know, right now, into this year where we're at, the markets have done remarkably well. And most people who are in the market have got to be very, very happy with their returns. But again, those returns are there as long as you keep them. And I'll let you know that as of 11/17, the S&P is up 15.06%. The Dow Jones, as of 11/17, is up 18.192. So that's, you know, 3%. That's 20% difference. That's, to me, that's a big difference. But again, the markets are going. But if you go back and you look at since the turn of the century, the S&P is up 4.47% per year, well under their normal numbers. And the Dow Jones over that same period of time is up 6.11%. That's almost 50% better. I got to tell you, that is very, very unusual. And if you plug the NASDAQ in there, the NASDAQ, which is tech, and we're supposed to be a big tech country, tech over that same 16-year period, 3.95. Folks, that is not a stock rally. That's telling you that the big investors, big money, is going to the big companies, the Dow Jones companies, the conservative companies, because I tell you what, the 80 years before the turn of the century, that whole scenario is upside down. You remember, Carl, we had a guy on that wrote a book called Upside Down Market, or Upside of the Downside Market, something like that.
Yeah.
I got to go back and look at that again. But we had him on the radio with us, and he had a very interesting theory. In fact, his theory is way years ago. You know, gosh, might be like 8-9 years ago, and he was about saying what Harry's saying right now. Yeah. He was saying back then.
Well, I guess, you know, if you wait long enough,
if you give predictions of doom and gloom and you wait long enough, it will happen. But I will tell you, if you really look at historical history, and if things get as bad as Harry was saying, you know, and you go back and you look at the Great Depression, that was a time period where there were probably more millionaires created during that period of time than any other time up to then in the history of America. And the reason was, that's where the term cash is king really came to be, because if you had money, you were able to buy virtually anything you wanted for pennies on the dollar. And the key, though, is to have the money, you know. And for you guys out there with gold, you can't eat it and you can't negotiate it if you don't have a currency to trade it with. So I just tell you, I would tell you right now, you might want to think about having a little more cash and a little less hard gold, because gold is not going to be the panacea that people think it is when you have a big crash, because you can't eat it, you can't trade it. There's no currency with it.
Can't send it electronically,
and of course, if we have another Great Depression, say we do, I'm not sure where all the electronics are going to be at either. You know, we may have, and I know a lot of us are very, very dependent on our computer. I mean, I just think where we're at today versus, you know, even 5 years ago, mm-hmm. even 3 years ago, the things our computers can do today are just light years ahead of where we were, you know, 5-10 years ago. And you almost can't run a business without them. You know, you really got to have them. And so I really worry about if we ever had a problem with our power grid. I think would be probably one of the most devastating things ever.
Have you ever been into a grocery store or a retail store when the power goes out and you're trying to buy something and they're standing in line and they can't sell you anything because they can't process it through their system, so they can't keep track of it and they can't make change. In fact, you know, it's you sit there and some guy comes out with an adding machine and a change maker and a box of cash and they write it down in a ledger. Oh, you know, what an idea!
You know, I think about that in the old days. I worked in a grocery store and I was a box boy and did all that kind of good stuff. But I can tell you, back then we had cash registers, and they weren't hooked up to computers. You had to do them, and a lot of times. I always have been really good at math, but I got really good at math because a lot of times you'd figure that stuff right in your head and just do it before you punch the numbers in. It didn't calculate it for you. You had to do the right numbers. Mm-hmm. So nowadays it's totally different. And what amazes me is now you go to a store and you give somebody money and they've got to count it out. And I've already got it figured in my head, and I tell them how much it is and they look at you like, what are you talking about? And then they count it out and say, oh, how did you do that?
Yeah, the making change, there are a lot of people that can't really make change very well.
Well, no. Hey, Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
Oh, you can call me at 971-229-0585, and I'm at carljepsonlaw.com.
And you can reach me at pfgwm.com, 503-253-3000. Our 877-50-PRICE, if you call toll-free, and we're on the web at pfgwm.com. And mark your calendars for November 30th. If you make one event, make the event that we're going to talk about asset lock. I'm going to have Jason Jenkins and also another special guest at that seminar to talk about artificial intelligence and how it's changing the way we're investing, and it'll change it forever. And if you want to be on the cutting edge of this and you want to hear what's going on, this is the program you want to be at. Want to give this plug for Kevin Steggy, because he's still my CPA. I still get his bills. I still pay him. But he's off vacationing right now while I'm working, so I don't know how that works. He says very well. Anyway, Kevin can be reached at 503-666-5569. And it's ksteggy@baker-colson.com. And Kevin is at 2414 Northeast Division Street in Gresham, Oregon. And I can tell you, Baker Colson has been a good CPA firm for me to work with. The thing I like is they have numerous accountants there that can help you in virtually anything you want to do. I've had clients come in that had some money coming in from Canada, which I had no idea what to do with. But fortunately, I could call Kevin's office, and they had somebody there who had has done a lot of currency exchange with Canada. So it really helps. And I know they have people there in various stages of economics. Well, we got 1 minute. So
1 minute, huh?
Yeah. So you got a 1 minute joke?
No.
Okay. Well, we just want to say, you know, thanks for another great year. At least our, I think you'd say the same thing, Carl.
Given all circumstances considered, it's been a great year.
a very blessed year. Yes. And you know, we are all very thankful for being able to be on the radio and talk to you folks. And again, we just wish you all the happy Thanksgiving and a great holiday season. Mark your calendars. Don't miss November 30th, Asset Lock. November 30th. You want to be there. You want to hear about it. Give us a call, 503-253-3000, to reserve your spot. Drive careful. Happy Thanksgiving.
Price Financial Group.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.